I was listening to the Flophouse episode earlier where they screwed up Elliot's mic for the first 20 minutes. So it was just a little flashback.
Have you gotten to the episode where Dan overboosted his mic the entire episode? So everyone else is a faint whisper, and yes, every time Dan speaks, it clips.
Oh, no, I haven't gotten that one yet.
And the one with the radio.
The hip-hop radio station.
Yes, the pirate one. Radio station with the air horns in them.
Classic. Hello.
Hello.
Erica, I'm Jason, and we have John and David with us so far.
Hi, guys. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hello. I tried to internet meet you by reading all the stuff on your website, but time constraints only allowed me to add it all to Instapaper.
Oh, dear.
Which so one did I add?
He'll retroactively meet you later.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I added the ones about Amy Pond, because that looked appealing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very Doctor Who. You guys are meeting out of sync.
I was just
one of you is River
myself.
Song. Let's say John.
I wish I had that hair.
I don't. You can have it.
Oh, and the one on Blink. That's the other one I added.
Okay. All right. Those are okay. Please don't go back too much farther than that, because I didn't know how to write when I first started that blog.
I just saw a blog. John, maybe you remember who it was. Somebody just restarted their blog and said, I've removed all the posts that were here before because they were really embarrassing, and I'm going to start writing again, but you don't want to read those old posts, so just forget they existed. And I thought, you know, I've got some short stories that I wrote when I was 20 years old that are on the internet, and I know what they're talking about there.
Yeah, all my stuff I can't remove because it's a third-party site. Like, many times I'd like to go to Ars Technica and delete things written in 1999, but I can't.
I think I'll just start a new blog. I would leave the old stuff up there. I'm not going to deny my old self, but I'm going to make it very clear. that's not me anymore.
You just keep making the date bigger and bigger. Because that's the worst thing, when someone reads something and doesn't read the date line on it and writes you comments about it, you know, like as if you had just written it. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't you see it said 1998 on the top of the page?
That's terrible. So there's the 5x5 Network has a live stream, Erica, so I'm going to turn on the live stream. And there is a chat room if you care. I don't know if you do IRC, but if you do, it's irc.freenode.net at the hashtag 5x5. But the chat room is not mandatory.
It's not a hashtag, Jason. You sound like an old man. I want your children hashtag to come to the room and smack your dad.
Pound sign isn't any better.
Pound sign sounds older.
Pound sign.
Oh, but I think it's that sound. Making it sound like it's a Twitter hashtag.
Well, everything's a hashtag now, John. We live in a hashtag world.
Yeah, I love when they put those on a TV screen. That just makes me feel like
on a drama. That's the one that killed me, is that was it Fringe that every week there was a different hashtag, and it had nothing to do with like the episode title. It was some weird, clever hashtag, and it just stayed there all the time, the whole episode.
Oh, weird.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? Now that it's back, you know, you can do the whose line is it anyway hashtag, whatever it is. But then every game they put up a hashtag. So it's, you know, props or, you know, stand up, sit down or whatever. It's like, I'm not really going to tweet during the show anyway, but I'm definitely not going to use those hashtags. It's like, what's the point?
If you were to do a hashtag search for half the tags they put up there when they're like running in something, like, it just makes no sense. I don't understand. It's kind of like QR codes. Like, it's a thing that everyone is convinced that they have to do, but that no one on the receiving end actually uses in the intended way.
Yeah. Right.
I still remember the first time I saw URL on a billboard. I almost drove my car off the road. It's like, what? Now it's on soda cans.
Ubiquitous.
Yeah. It's not as exciting now.
But it's not as exciting now because way back when, there was a pretty good chance that the slashes would be facing the wrong way, and that was exciting.
Yes. Well, it's like watching the Toyota ads. I don't know if you guys have these, but it's these Toyota ads where they're like, oh, we talked to so-and-so. We got this off of Twitter. Someone wants a new car. And then they go, so Twitter user at Henry says, it's like, no, you don't need to say the at. But
people need to say the at. They love to say
it. Have you heard people say each at? There's some older people who think that the symbol means each at. Like oranges, three, each at 20 cents or something.
What is wrong with those people?
I don't know. So that's Steve.
Says idiots.
So we have David, Steve, Erica, and John. And
hello, David, Steve, Erica, and John.
And the thing is on.
Hello.
It's almost a folk song.
It's almost
should I get the guitar?
It's almost a folk. What would that be? Quartet.
Stephen, David, Erica, quintet. And John.
Well, actually, it's a... Yeah.
Me. I would make the quintet, but I'm not in the name, so I'm just like the manager on the side of the stage or something.
You're
apologies for my tardiness. There was a minor plumbing emergency I had to attend to.
Fair enough. And Serenity can't make it.
The house plumbing, not my
like,
plumbing.
She, like Dan, did not watch the movie.
What?
Again,
what's
or did not
wrong
rewatch
with
the
these
movie.
People?
And we have plenty of people who did rewatch the movie, so yes. We'll just go on. All right. I'll get started. I'm gonna do a. I'll try to walk us through kind of in chronological sequence. I think that might be the most straightforward way. Feel free to divert into a tangent at any time you like.
We never do that.
No, oh, no, never. We got it. We're totally buttoned down here. We got it all. David's doing a Skype. He's like fake Dan Morin's avatar. That's really weird.
Yes.
That is as inside a joke as there could possibly be.
Okay.
And the weird thing is, Erica. He now sounds just like John Syracuse. It's very strange.
David literally made an icon that looks like one of our other guests' Skype icon because he couldn't be here tonight.
But not anymore because that guest now has a worse hat. Were minidiscs even writable?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
not great.
You're listening to the Minidisc podcast where we next
anywho
cassette tapes next on the yeah. The fact that the agents are all Australian and speaking with a put on kind of American agent accent, I think just heightens the weirdness of the whole thing.
He actually reminds me a little bit of he and all the agents, I guess, in general, remind me a little bit of the observers from Fringe because they can kind of be anywhere and they talk strange and wear suits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I should mention the other kind of the secondary agent. There's Elrond, the elf from Lord of the Rings, who's the primary agent. And I obviously didn't think of him that way when I first saw the movie and watching it this time. I'm like, oh yeah, Lord of the Rings.
The only thing I had seen him in previously was in The Adventures of Priscilla Queen of the Desert, which has a slightly different tone.
Different tone. But the secondary agent is the guy who played Stark, who is this crazy guy in Farscape, the long loved by. Few lamented wonderful actually sci-fi show anyway another Australian actor and it's like hey there's that guy but you're yeah the unreality of those especially Hugo Weaving, which is great because he's so controlled but it's that control like he is trying very hard to be under control because you know under the surface there is just this seething rage that keeps bubbling out.
I can't see him the same in any other role. I mean, when I watched him as Elrond, I was just like, it's Agent Smith. That's
you have
it.
To get the ring to Mordor, exactly. Mr. Anderson.
Exactly. But isn't he Kiwi? I thought he was Kiwi.
Oh, maybe he is. He's a down-under actor. They're,
I just don't want
to... Because it was shot in Australia. Anything. Yeah, maybe he is from New Zealand. I don't know. But it was shot in Australia, and that's why there are a lot of Australian actors in small parts in this movie, because it was shot down-under. Even though all the street names are Chicago street names, which is also interesting.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether this is reassuring or horrifying. These people have no conception of their history. They don't even know what year it is. But, hey, Mikey, I think he likes it is still part of their cultural lexicon.
That's part of cultural transference.
Because, yeah, exactly. It's part of our culture here in The Matrix. Well, you know, in this world that is like The Matrix. So in 1999... That was still kind of a common phrase. Yeah, so of course,
I'll accept that.
They have 1999 YouTube in The Matrix.
My 11-year-old knew it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, but he likes to watch old commercials on YouTube, so.
I like that the Oracle actually makes a point of saying not what you expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm in a computer program and I run across somebody named Oracle, I'm totally expecting someone who's inscrutable, annoying to use. You often get the impression it isn't working at all, and you need another person to help you interpret what the hell is going on.
32 character limit on identifiers.
Absolutely.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, if it was Larry Ellison, it would be really disappointing.
If he was allowed to bring a DBA in with him, he would have known exactly what she meant.
Wow. That one's for you, computer nerds.
Two of the references that really struck me the first time were, again, the sort of biblical names. And the Nebuchadnezzar and Zion. And it's really cool because Nebuchadnezzar supposedly built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Right.
And nobody knows where they were. It's the only one of the seven wonders of the world that no one knows where it was. So I thought that was a nice touch. But then Zion was a fortress. It was the city of David. It was the name for the world to come. But this is the really interesting thing. The Wachowskis are students of Kabbalism. Is that how you pronounce it? And in Kabbalah, Zion is the spiritual point from which reality emerges.
Mm.
And that's like, ooh. And they wrote this after they started studying Kabbalah. So it was like, okay, what are you trying to say?
Again, I'm flashing back to my grad students now.
You gotta
watch this movie. It'll blow your mind. It did kind of blow my mind. I honestly, they set a kind of high bar. And I remember going to the movie theater being like, well, my wife and I went in and I'm like, well, you know, the kids say we should watch the movie. Let's watch the movie. And you know, it did blow my mind. I said, whoa.
Bravo.
Just like that. That's how I did it.
Well, that was the problem. Keanu had read the script.
Let's just film him while he's reading the script.
Did you know that Simulacra and Simulation is actually a real book?
I did know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a literary reference. Like,
Yeah. It's by some French dude. It's a philosophical treatise about how human experience is but a simulation of reality.
Yeah, you think Neo could have figured it out. I mean, he must have had ideas.
Well, he hollowed it out for his mini discs, though.
Yeah, he didn't read it.
He cut that section out of the book so he could fit his
That's how the Matrix got him, in there. Is he hollowed out his treatise that explains his actual reality.
It was a book, but it was a fake book.
Oh, Neo.
What do you think it was that the guy was buying from him on the mini disc?
A mixtape.
It's some low grade
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Given that this is definitely given it's the spawn of Neuromancer and all of the cyberpunk books from the 80s and 90s, I would say it's, you know, some sort of low grade icebreaker kind of thing. I think that's kind of implied is that Neo is kind of like the hackers in the William Gibson novels, and he sells this like low grade software stuff on the side that lets him, you know, get phone calls for free or pirate stuff or whatever.
It was probably just a copy of Zork.
Crack into the mainframe, or it could be Zork. You're in a maze of twisty passages, all alike.
It's the original draft of Johnny Mnemonic.
Well, that's now that is a reference.
74 gigs of Sprint codes.
Yeah. It could be. It could be.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. All right.
I know Kung Fu. So woe is the new bro.
Sure. It's a catchphrase. It's catching on.
Whoa.
So that was great. Thanks. I know that went long, but there was a lot to talk about. Thank you, everybody. I know it's also very late. And Erica, thank you so much for doing this. That was great that you could join us. I appreciate it.
I had a blast. Thank you so much for asking.
Yay, Erica.
Yay. She survived the incomparable.
Who needs Dan Morin?
Who needs Dan Morin? Seriously. Yeah. He's out. He's all the way out.
Long movie, long podcast.
Yeah. And Erica, I'll also, maybe we can have you back sometime. I'll send you some. It's just a matter of like, if there are things that you're interested in talking about, I've got this. I'm going to do a Doctor Who 50th anniversary one at some point. So that would be kind of fun to get some people on that were know about the Doctor
that
Who.
That would be awesome.
Be warned, there are people on this podcast who are not as big a Doctor Who fan.
John.
As
oh, yeah. I tried listening to your previous Doctor Who episode.
We all have a certain affection for it. It's why we keep talking about it.
So. Yeah, this is true.
Our heart's in the right place. The show's not always, though.
Ouch. Ooh. Burn. Yeah, I had Chip on. I thought Chip was going to fight the good fight. He tried. He tried.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the thing is, there are a lot of people who really enjoy Doctor Who and quite like it. And then there are the people who see Doctor Who as like a member of the family. And that's where that's like me. So I find it I'm fine hearing Chip bash Doctor Who because I know to him it's like a family member. But to other people on random podcasts that I don't listen to very often, I don't know where they're coming from. Right. So it's like hearing somebody talk bad about my sister.
Yep. Yeah, I opened myself up for it too as somebody who loves Doctor Who. Although I was kind of disappointed by last season too, so that was how it went. I'm sort of fascinated by that. That's one of the things that this podcast does that I find interesting is that it's people who are not necessarily like super invested in any particular thing, and but are kind of generally interested in it. And then you get this kind of, it's not all the way in the hardest of the hardcore. It's more like, yeah, Doctor Who's kind of interesting. And, you know, I had the Doctor Who t-shirt when I was in high school, but they didn't. And so I think it's an interesting kind of combination.
Yeah,
and,
I think sometimes the Doctor Who like podcast community sort of forgets that normal people are out there.
Yeah. What do they think?
So it's a good thing to sort of check in with the real world from time to time.
Whoa. You're getting Morpheus on me now.
Oh, sorry. Fortune cookie. Whoa.
Yeah, like I grew up with Tom Baker, so he's been a part of the family for years. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I was a little disappointed this year, but I don't think I was as disappointed as you were. Because I liked a lot of stuff. I did not like The Angels Take Manhattan, and I did not like Journeying to the Center of the TARDIS.
Sorry, Steve. Steve, this is Star Trek Doctor Who. It's a spinoff of Star Trek and Babylon.
Oh, okay. Star Trek Doctor Who.
So it's
I've heard of that.
It's one of those. It's a hospital drama set on a starship in the Babylon 5 Doctor Who Star Trek.
I would so watch that.
Universe. That, yeah. But, you know, sadly, they made a space hospital show called Mercy Point, and it lasted about 3 weeks, and it was also terrible. But it's with Joe Morton, right? But,
poor Joe Morton.
But it's God. But it was really bad. It's too bad because that would have been. And aren't they doing a like space law show this year?
What? Well,
or not a space law, a future law show. There's space a there's law. A they're doing a, there's one of the shows that's it might be a mid-season replacement, but it's a law show set in the future.
CSI Zeta 2 Reticuli.
Well,
are you thinking of Almost Human? With Carl Urban?
That's the Carl Urban show. Isn't there another? Yeah. So there's Future Cops. I thought there was a Future Law show, too. Maybe not. There used to be one. David Kelly actually did a show that was set in the future that was Future Law.
What was it? There was Century City.
No, yeah, maybe that's it. Space hospitals, future lawyers.
It's going to be Judge Dredd. He is the law.
There you go. Solved. Yeah. It's Carl Urban. Makes sense. He's Dr. McCoy. He's Judge Dredd, and he's the guy in that TV show, the Almost Human. He's the guy. He's not the android guy. He's the human guy. Thanks, everybody. Send me your files. Any means you like, Dropbox link, anything else?
I'm going to put mine on a Sony mini disc, put it in a book, hollowed out philosophical treaties, and ship it to you via FedEx. And when it gets there, it's going to ring and scare the hell out of you.
I'm going to follow the white rabbit, Steve.
Well, the woman who delivers it will have the tattoo. It'll be great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And her name will be Du Jour.
I can't
fake
wait.
Neck rings. And I du will, jour, that's a great name.
Du jour, yeah.
Isn't it?
I'm sure that's a long-term relationship.
Yep.
It's the only way to fly. Ooh, that guy makes me want to shower when he says that line. Ooh, what a terrible guy.
He has a real Danny Partridge vibe, too, which doesn't help.
No. No, oh, man. No, that just makes it worse.
I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good night. This has been a podcast.
Good night, Mr. Kincaid.
Goodbye.
Come on, get happy.